8.
Any last words?
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On the Chuck and Lou podcast tonight, we are thrilled to have Miss Debbie Turner Westhues, who is the athletic director at Duchesne High School. And we talk anything tonight from the state of Duchesne High School, mention a little fun talk about St. Charles West possibly joining with St. Charles High. You know, everyone in St. Charles talks about that at times. Duchesne rivalries. We talk about Pat Turner, the soccer coach there, who's 5 times been a state champ and is married to Debbie. And we talk a little bit cheerleading fights that we had around town here, and obviously talk about many other things. So I hope you enjoy tonight's episode on Chuck and Lou with Debbie Turner.
Welcome, everybody, to Chuck and Lou. We are back. It's been a while. It's a busy time of year, and we are so excited tonight. Obviously, I put this out on Twitter earlier, and just the people responding about tonight's guest. I mean, it is just ridiculous. We have Debbie Turner Westhues is what I'm going to call you.
That's fine.
Welcome.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
What are your thoughts on this?
You know, this is quite a setup you've got here.
It is.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, welcome to the Chuck and Lou studio, as we call it down here. And Iggy's here tonight. Iggy, how's it going?
It's going well.
How are you? It's great. Got Lando in the house, my son here this morning. How's it going, Landon?
I'm good.
You're good? All right. Lou, how was your weekend?
Long.
It was long?
Long.
Was it? Tiring?
Yeah. Yes. I woke up 9 o'clock Saturday morning, just like, holy cow, that was a long night. And it was long. Got some Madden dubs in on my brother.
That's
making
always
him Cody Parkey.
Ooh.
Some kicks to lose the game. So
I wish I knew what you were talking about, but I have no idea.
Nor do I.
Double crossbar.
Ooh.
Double crossbar to
well,
lose.
as going from the double crossbar, many of you know, I'm a St. Charles guy, so I've known Debbie my entire life. Obviously, Debbie is the athletic director at our local Duchesne High School and has been for how long?
This is my 7th year athletic director, yes.
And tell us just a little bit about your childhood, and if you want to talk about how we were in the same carpool when we were younger.
We were.
Or Greg Dower's loogies that he would throw the window.
We always looked forward to Mondays.
So you can tell we're both from St. Charles because we were in the same carpool together back in the day with St.
Right.
Cletus. So tell the audience just a little bit about maybe from high school on. And just
Where
has Deb went?
Well, you know, graduated in 96, which is hard for me to accept that I'm coming up on 25 years. It doesn't seem possible. But graduated from Duchesne in 96, where I then went to Missouri Western, where I graduated with my degree in exercise science.
Mm-hmm.
Went to work for 24 Hour Fitness, a gym, for about 10 years. Started coaching towards the end of that tenure there and realized that I kind of wanted to get back into something more with kids. I'd been working with a lot of an older kind of demographic and really enjoyed working with kids. So I went back to school to become a teacher and then was actually teaching at another school when I got the call about the opening at Duchesne.
So how does that happen?
You know,
where's the setting? Where are you at?
I feel like I kind of blacked out at it.
Okay.
I got a call and said, hey, you know, there's a job opening that I think you really should think about or consider.
Did you have any idea about this before? Or?
Not an inkling. I've
always wondered that.
It was out of the blue. I had no idea. And nor did I have really any idea what I was getting myself into. You know, I like sports and
right.
I like Duchesne and thought that's what could go wrong. You know,
right.
This is going to be easy. This is going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Not really understanding what all goes into being an athletic director. So I kind of learned along the way and really have started to figure it out here now 7 years later,
I guess. I always ask our guests this, who are some of your mentors? And I just kind of want to break it down towards the AD part of things. The last 7 or 8 years, who has really been your mentor or maybe a couple people who made that impact on helping you out?
You know, somebody that, and this is going to sound really, really weird coming from a Duchesne person, but somebody that really helped me out when I first started was Jim Welby, who's actually now the president at St. Dominic.
Oh, we'll
I know. That's where that awkward, you know, look comes in. But he really did. He helped me.
What a good dude he is, by the way.
He's just a really great guy.
He's a great guy. You talk about kind and character and just a high character guy. So he
helps
you out a little bit with that.
He really did.
As he was the AD at Dominic for a while.
And, right.
Who else? Anybody else?
You know, this is going to be kind of weird also, but when I went back and was doing my student teaching, actually Coach Bauslog was my mentoring teacher. So,
oh wow!
Now I, you know, he's one of my coaches.
And what class was he teaching at that time?
PE. He was.
So you were teaching, and he was doing film in the room, just grinding, not pulling his hair.
Really, that was a lot of it. Yeah,
he's like, I'm bored. Come on, I want you to shoot it some more.
Yes,
you know?
exactly. But yeah, it's all been kind of a really just crazy way that this is all unfolded.
That's crazy. And those are two great, awesome guys to have to help you along the way. So let's go ahead and we'll get into our, you know, I know many people want to kind of know what I did this weekend, but usually it's pretty fun. But this weekend was boring as can be. I was at Orchard Farm this morning at an 8 o'clock game, at Madison Square Garden all day today. Saw many a Duchesne alumni there. So, you know, I saw the, who was it? Springweather was there with, all kinds of Glosiers were running around.
Yep.
So
yep.
It was like a Duchesne party up there.
I love it.
So we'll go ahead and get into the question and answer part with Deb here, and then we'll just kind of lose it for a little bit afterwards later. You can stick around and throw your two cents in.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
So how long, we talked about you've been there 7 years. You talked about how it became about. And let's go ahead and move on with the next one here.
So what is the most and least exciting part of being an AD?
You know, the most exciting part is developing these relationships with the kids and really getting to know them as people. Also getting to know their families and, you know, watching them grow and you know, looking at senior nights. We were talking about that earlier. Senior nights, watching them from when they were just a little freshman coming in, just so, you know, unsure and watching them grow into confident young adults. It's really one of the most satisfying things.
Yeah, well, let's face it, in the private school, it's a little bit more prevalent, I think, in my mind, to know these kids probably even from like fourth or fifth grade.
Oh, yeah.
You know, absolutely. I mean, you know the families, you know the
it is.
The
I babysat usually a lot of them. It was, you know,
absolutely.
It's a big, you know, community.
So that's an awesome deal. And I think relationships with the kids is, if you do it right and you do it the right way, I don't care if you're a coach, a parent, an AD, that relationship piece with the kids is huge.
Yes.
And how do you continue to do that? I'm just going to kind of layer onto the question I asked.
Yeah.
How do you do that at school, not being in the classroom? Is that hard to, you know, do you just pop in? Do you know, do you trip them in the hallways a little bit?
Or? You know, I bribe them a lot. Uh-huh. I make a lot of cookies.
Ah.
And it's funny how
Laffy Taffy, stuff like that.
Candy, anything that, you know, will attract them in. And then when they come in, I make them talk to me, actually,
yeah,
so I can get to know them better as well.
Yeah.
So that helps. But when I did transfer, you know, kind of from the classroom setting to the athletic director, that piece I was really missing. So I would take over a homeroom. So I would do, basically had my homeroom. So I still had a class that I could interact with each day and really kind of work with them more.
That's
specifically.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome that you actually can still get back into the classroom.
Yes.
And I would assume as an AD at a small, you know, when I say a smaller school, just a private institution that's pretty small, those relationships are a little easier to probably maintain.
Absolutely.
With the enrollment. And that's, you know, just something with, I think some of these large public schools, it's like those athletic directors are just really, you know, influenced, or they're really into the lives of their athletes and maybe not the student body in general, but I feel like watching you from afar, you have that ability to have their respect and you have that relationship with not only your athletes, but the students at the school who aren't necessarily athletes.
Right. Well, and that is one of the things that I really try to do is, you know, I'll say hi to the person that is, you know, the lead in the play and know that, you know, he also is going to play football next year at Benedictine College. It's really a fun dynamic to be able to walk up and down and know the kids in the rooms.
Well, let's talk about, you know, who we're going to talk about here. We're going to talk about your husband.
Shocking.
Yeah, shocking. I'm sure every time you look at a cheeseburger, that conversation ends up with talking about him.
Yeah. And do you know the coach? I'm like, yeah, I know him. I know
he's
him.
On with my two kids right now.
Yeah,
you know?
He sure is.
God
bless
him. Does he wear his rings around the house?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
They were in a case that I put in the basement, like on the shelf that is most hidden.
And I guess we should say, for those who don't know, Coach Turner, Pat Turner, and Debbie are married, and he has been one of the most, if not the most successful coach, and I think in my mind, in many, maybe even any sports around here lately. And why don't you tell us
Thanks
a little
for
bit,
saying that.
What makes him so successful, and what, I guess the best question I have for you is, we all know, what makes him different? You see coaches all the time. What makes him different?
Sure. You know, and I get to see a lot of it, but he studies the game, and how the game changes and how his personnel changes. So he knows who he's got on the bench this year versus who he had last year and can make the adjustments based on that. But one of the things that I think maybe makes him a little bit different besides the X's and O's is that he doesn't think that he knows it all. Yeah, he's got five rings, but he's very humble about it. He would not ever consider himself the best coach at Duchenne by any stretch. Uh-huh. And he said that multiple times. So it's that, you know, that humble feeling and not being afraid to reach out to other coaches. I know he reaches out to Wade. I know he reaches out to Mike Hollander, who coaches baseball. He isn't afraid to reach out and get other people's takes on situations.
Well, no matter your success or how long you've been somewhere, or how good you are, if you don't continue to learn, I mean, I'm sure, absolutely. You know, I'm sure Roy Williams and, you know, the guys aren't just, oh, I'm going to stop learning. But it's also, you have to be humble to want to do that because you kind of get to a point where you think you do know it all.
You know, it also helps too. He can connect with them in that he played soccer for Duchenne and his entire staff actually did too, on the boys and the girls side. The staff is comprised
That's huge.
Alumni.
Right.
So they were all there. They've all lived it. They've all, you know, been in that exact same scenario that a lot of these kids see.
That's one thing that we have on the basketball side at West is every single assistant we have besides our one new one who's been with us the last 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody from Jackson to Faust to myself, we've been there the entire road and we've seen it all. We've heard it all.
Yep.
And when kids get down, you have to remind them that, hey, I've been here before.
Absolutely.
I am one of you. So I'm sure that's it. I think you have to understand having alumni be your coaches is a remarkable thing. I think it's almost a must at times.
It really is a big component in that relationship and being able to, you know, I was there. I know what you're going through. Mm-hmm. And the kids can actually buy into it because they know it's true.
All right. So would it be fair to say that Duchenne's biggest rival is St. Dominic?
You know, that's going to depend on what sport you're talking about. So most of the time, I'd say, you know, we're always going to get a packed house when Duchenne plays Dominic. You know, that's a big rivalry week, especially in basketball. But if you look at soccer, I mean, St. Charles West might be a pretty high rival, too. We always end up seeing them on the girls' side. A lot of times it came with that quarterfinal where it was to send us to the final four.
Two or 3 years in a row here.
Yeah. And then, you know, on the boys' side, we used to see West in the district final year after year after year. So, you know, Coach Dwyer over there at St. Charles West, he might argue that, you know, on the soccer side at least, that might be a bigger rival than the St. Dominic one.
Makes sense. So, speaking of Dominic, it's no secret they're growing out there quite a bit. Except their largest freshman class ever. Did their growth in students' facilities, do they worry you with how many kids they're getting?
It's the good news is that there's a lot of kids still in the private schools, in the Catholic schools. So
I guess that's the first place
those numbers
look.
Like are growing full, is good. Absolutely.
You know,
that's looking at a lot of our feeder schools, it's promising.
Uh-huh.
We're moving in the right direction. And so, they're a bigger school. I tell people it's kind of like comparing apples to oranges. Yeah, we're both, you know, fruit in that we are private Catholic schools, but as far as a student experience goes, it's a very different experience to be at a school as large as St. Dominic versus something that's smaller.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
Oh, no.
We're
actually trying to learn the art of doing it
absolutely.
In a small school. And
I think when people ask me that, you know, these questions about this, everyone talks about St. Charles and everyone, you know, I had two sisters and went to Duchenne and I think it's a situation where when you kind of, you know, start talking about it, those schools are still, they're so populated. Like you said, you think about Dominic and Duchenne, it's not like there's 5 private schools within 15 or 20 miles of where we're at. I mean, there's really 2 options.
Right.
And that's got to a little bit keep you on the mends of thinking if those schools are still fully, the Barmales, the St. Cletus's, you know, they've got to go somewhere.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're not trying to be, you know, a school of 700 anymore.
Right.
We're really happy at being a school of 300 to 400 and just really concentrating on developing those relationships that you can do that at the small school level.
So let's talk a little bit because I try to ask people these questions and I don't know. When we talked about, you know, a kid, let's say past 9 offs at St. Cletus and I'm in 8th grade and I have, I really like, you know, coach over at Duchenne. I really like the people. CBC is just, you know, one of those situations where it's kind of at, you know, as an 8th grader's vision of watching a facility and watching everything that CBC does, it's kind of at that level. And then I have the, you know, the Dominic option because maybe I'm in a situation where I live kind of in between the two schools. What is the, when it comes to tuition there, like, I pass sign up, is it just way much more other places or kind of the same?
You'd be surprised. You know, most of the archdiocesan schools are comparable to each other.
You can tell I have no idea what I'm talking about. So educate me.
I am not judging you.
Okay.
You know, the archdiocesan schools like Duchenne, St. Dominic, the ones that are under their jurisdiction, they're kind of limited in what we can and can't offer. Now, the private schools have a little bit different because they have a little more leeway. Their endowment you know, can
help. The MICDSs of the world.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's kind of a whole different deal.
It is.
So
it
under
is.
Your umbrella there in the Archdiocese, I mean, it's kind of somewhat similar, and it kind of has to be. So that's interesting, because I think there's people out there who think like...
Oh, there's definitely people out there
they
think.
Look at the... It's almost like they compare the cost to go to school to like how big their gym is. Like, oh, well, right. CBC has turf, so there's probably like... No, it doesn't change.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Absolutely. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of people who think that.
I know there are. And it's you know, it's kind of a guilty by association by being a private school. Right. But in all reality, we don't have that, you know, ability.
In my opinion, too, I think some people think that it's way more than what it is. And we're not going to talk about what it is. But at the same time, like, I think there's people out there who are like, and even like, kids or people who are just those kids that never experienced it,
well,
they
right.
think it's like, or comparing it to these college, you know, it's not right. really, it's different, but at the same time.
Yes. And, you know, we offer
right.
a ton of our kids are on financial aid mm-hmm. and, you know, for families that qualify for it, that it's a great option for them. Right. So
what things has Duchenne put in place recently to increase the enrollment if you need to do that?
There's a couple different programs that have been added. We added what's called the Scholars Academy. It's kind of an honors program that you need to be accepted into. It's a 4-year program. The curriculum is set, and it's really an interesting program for those that qualify for it. And then we've also, this is our second year where we've actually implemented a house system. So I'm one of those people that have never watched Harry Potter or right. any of those things, so I had no idea what I was to expect when this all came about, but it's really taken off, and the kids have gotten behind it and have bought into it, and it's really been a lot of fun.
Good. So we kind of, you know, touched about the whole financial aid part.
Yep.
With that, and has that been something that is kind of standard between all those archdiocese and schools, as far as, or is it just kind of school by school, or how does that work?
It's different, and I don't want to speak out of context because I right. don't know how every other school is doing it. I know that for our school, you know, nobody goes for free. That's just how it is. You can, you know, fill out the forms and the paperwork for the financial mm-hmm. aid. And if you qualify, great. We can hopefully have enough that we can try to help you out.
Right.
But it's kind of out of our hands. Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So let's move into, we're basketball guys. Let's move to the basketball
let's
side
go
thing.
To it.
So with the success Coach Bauzog's had at Duchenne, just becoming the all-time wins leader, do you worry basically every year that he'll take another job?
Basically every night. No, I'm just kidding.
I can imagine.
Wade and I have a really good relationship, as I do with a lot of the coaches. And the transparency is one of my things that I really try to give them. Mm-hmm. And I'm very transparent with them. If you know, I can get that same respect from them, I feel like I get that. So if Wade were to be considering leaving, I think I would be in the know on that, which gives me comfort.
You know, and him and I are pretty close. Mm-hmm. And he has said from day one, because obviously coaches are going to discuss the coaching profession.
Sure, absolutely.
And he has said from day one that every time he thinks about leaving, he can't because of the people.
And that's
and it's,
very
you
true.
Know, it gets to a point where, and he's not even really a St. Charles rooted dude.
He's not, but know? he has become one of us.
That's what I'm saying. Like the amount really of has. The impact that these families have had on him to take a guy who didn't grow up here, but right. now feels like he's part of it in a big way.
Right.
The Moores, the Briss, all those families, and I always mention them because they all would have went to West. If they didn't go to Duchenne, that would have been a bad, you know what, team there. But just the fact that he always mentions the people of Duchenne and the families,
yes.
and I think that's something that whenever there's other opportunities in life, you have to think about, am I really going to be happier there?
Absolutely.
Because sometimes the grass isn't always greener.
Absolutely.
And I think
absolutely.
You guys have done a great job with that.
Great.
So what do you say when people around town start to worry about the enrollment in Duchenne's future?
You know, St. Charles has the, you know, the St. Charles rumor mill, and people will say things and they'll hear it from so-and-so. But like I said earlier, we're trending in the right direction. We've got a great leadership team in place, and things are really going well. There's a lot
That's
of
good.
Great things that are happening at our school. So when people say, oh my gosh, what's going on? We heard, you know, terrible things. I just said fact check, you know,
right.
just ask me. I'll be happy to tell you
Absolutely.
Exactly what's going on. And, you know, if somebody asks me, I'm open and honest and say, you know, yeah, we're growing. We're not going to be a school of mm-hmm. 750, but we don't want to be.
Right.
That's not our niche.
Well, the thing too, I mean, where we are in St. Charles, I mean, we're not going to sit here and act like, I mean, we're at 680 at West.
Right.
I mean,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's not that many
you know,
kids here. It's an older community.
Ago. Absolutely. So I'm just going to skip down here and talk about this because I think it's kind of something that it's an interesting topic. We talk about there's just not as many kids living in here.
Absolutely.
What about the St. Charles West and St. Charles High combining?
You know, I saw that on the list you sent me, and I don't know a whole lot about it. So I...
Well, I'm not
I'm interested.
This crazy theory.
I'm absolutely
it's
interested.
It's this crazy theory that's been going on for years. And to be honest with you, it's when you bring it up, it's very interesting. But I am one of the few people who I am totally for it.
You know, I just wonder, I guess I'm naive in that I don't really even know how many students are in each of those buildings. They're both beautiful, large campuses.
And
I don't know how full
they
are.
Neither of them are at 1,000, and High is probably about your high eights, and West is your mid sixes. And if you do the math, that's kind of, you know what, 1,600? Yeah. That's a big school. But it's just an interesting conversation around town, and I know I've asked people, and I can already kind of tell you that just by asking people, it's probably not going to happen anytime soon if it does.
Sure.
I don't think it's going to happen on anybody's watch who's kind of in a higher admin role right now.
Right.
But I just wanted to know, what is your thought on that, Lou? I mean, you're a... I mean,
I think it's just a crazy conspiracy theory.
Okay. Explain. Like, as a student, as a kid who's lived in St. Charles, but, like, you go to West now. Mm-hmm. I went to West, and Debbie went to Duchenne. So we're, like, in this triangle around this community.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What would be your thoughts if all of a sudden Seifert sent out a text to you tonight and said, we're going to combine?
Honestly, I mean, I've gone the Jefferson and Hardin, so I've been with kids from High. To me, it's not that big of a difference because I've gone to school with them. Two buildings would be a little bit different. It would just be weird logistically.
Yeah, I think so too. Right. And I think people sometimes don't even realize that Hardin now, because many years ago it wasn't like this, the 7th and 8th graders at St. Charles West and St. Charles High go together, 7th and 8th grade, 5th and 6th grade over at Jefferson. So these kids are together their entire lives. But I just wonder how it would work as far as where the building would be. What would you call them? Would you just have to change it to like the St. Charles Hawks? Or something, you know, would the building be where St. Charles West is because it's got a little bit more room? And do you sell some of the high stuff to Lindenwood, or do you just leave? Can you tell I thought about this?
Perhaps he's got a checklist.
Conspiracy theories.
It almost like gets me like I like it because it's just so different, so wacky. And then of course, you know, Rick's got to be close to retirement, so maybe I'd get the job. I don't know.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. How would that, you know?
I'd probably be Rick's assistant for, you know, as he rides it out here, and he'll wear his ring every night to remind me why I'm sitting down and he's standing up. But just what an interesting conversation it is just around town.
Absolutely.
So, because I was going to say, we kind of put a little pressure on Deb there to talk about the Duchenne thing. I was like, what about ourselves, you know? So
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, if you woke up tomorrow and there was a note on your desk that said Duchenne is moving from the AAA back to the GAC, what would be your thoughts?
I would want to know who wrote that note. That's for sure.
Lou
wrote it.
Chuck. I didn't even know Duchenne was in the GAC.
You didn't?
No,
oh, I didn't.
Goodness.
Oh, that's enlightening, the show, man.
Yes. Yes. So I want to say it was 2000-ish. It was before me. Yeah. 2000-ish. Yeah. We were in the GAC and then we left to come to the AAA.
Okay.
Basically. So
I feel like I'm the guy at the diner who's like 70 years old who's like, well, I do shit in a JC. I can't go watch them play. They're playing down there. And I don't even know how to see Mary. Where's that at?
Exactly. And that's one of the things that, you know, we did have such great relationships and not just with St. Charles High and St. Charles West, but with all those schools. And to see the people, that was always a fun thing for us. Uh-huh. And we still have those relationships. So I feel like we still actually play so many
of the
GAC
thing.
Schools. It's like we still, you know,
it's not like you're not playing St. Charles High, you're not playing us,
right.
And the relationship's always going to be there. But I would have to suggest that the travel there in the AAA can be a little bit different.
And that is one of our,
yes,
you know,
we drove to Winfield last week.
Well, right, exactly. But you know, we're all the way to Columbia with Father Tolton,
right.
And sometimes that's challenging for us. But you know, as far as overall, I think it's been a good fit for us having, you know, the like-minded as far as being faith-based, mm-hmm. And having that sense of, you know, putting that first is just comforting.
And I think some people around town don't realize how good a conference it is. If you're talking about sports in general, I mean, you're just rolling off some teams here. I mean, St. Mary's, Borgia, Dominic, Ritter, Tolton, then you get down to O'Fallon Christian, who's 18-4 this year,
right.
In basketball, and Trinity, and DeBerg is an improved team, 13-10.
Right.
I'm sure I'm missing one or two, and I think I wrote them down over here. But that's a heck of a conference.
It is. It really is a strong conference. And, you know, we've again, developed these new rivalries with some of these new opponents that we hadn't had in the past, and that's always a fun thing to do.
Lou, would you classify the AAA conference as a basketball, soccer, or football conference if you just had to pick one? Like,
definitely not football.
Okay.
Probably basketball.
Basketball?
I mean,
I know I put you on the spot there, but that's what I was thinking. I didn't want to ask.
I don't think soccer's there quite yet.
Okay.
Definitely not football. It's got to be basketball.
When you say definitely not football, why?
There's some weak teams in that conference. Yes, there's some strong teams, but there's some weak teams in there, too.
And, of course, with football, you get back to a little bit of the enrollment situation again.
Sure.
You know, all of a sudden, football's football, and I don't care where you are. You know, if you had to ask me, I don't know if football will be around in 10 years.
Well, it's a scary thing.
It is.
It is.
And when enrollment's low, the scary thing that I see sometimes, and when your enrollment's low, like at West even, all of a sudden you're trotting out the freshman who's a very good athlete, and he's 5'10", 132 pounds, and you got Mr. Doyle on the other side of the ball who's, you know, 225. Right. It's like LeBron James hitting Lou.
Right.
You know, that's not really going to work out a whole lot. I don't know if Lou could.
For Lou.
Yeah, for Lou, yeah.
Well, you know, our freshman class this year has been just outstanding. It, probably the strongest athletically.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, if you live in St. Charles, you kind of understand that this has kind of been one of those, a class where they did a lot of things in football, correct?
Yes, yes.
And some of your better players on the football
Absolutely.
Team as freshmen.
Yeah, you know, we started 9 freshmen. Mm-hmm. So and they got significant time on both sides, a lot of them. So it's a good future for us. And we're going into, I don't know if you even know this or not, but the AAA is moving to a competitive equity setup starting next year. So we're kind of moving some things around, and it's I'm looking forward to that. So that's one thing that I really am happy about in the AAA.
That's good. That's good. Where are we at here in the show? I went off on some random tangents. So, I had LeBron tackling, you know.
Dang it. LeBron would be a good football player. What are the positives and negatives of being in the AAA?
You know, like I said, the positives is we have been able to meet some of these new schools that we hadn't necessarily been playing in the past and develop these new rivalries and relationships with them. Some of the negative is, you know, and this is true with any conference, really. If something kind of goes wrong at one of the schools, you're a little bit guilty by association. If some people get in trouble here and there, now, you know, it looks bad on the conference.
The conference, and we're in that conference.
And
that
conference.
You know, happened to GAC is huge. Something happens there, you're in that. So you're affiliated, like
you're
you
guilty
said.
By association, right. And it's that's kind of something that's really frustrating because it's completely out of your control.
What do you consider travel a negative, especially when you're going
off the court? You know, we are a team that, or we are a school that typically has a pretty good following, and people will come and a good fan base, but it just makes it difficult. People that are
lifers.
People that are lifers, absolutely.
Scenes, I mean, just great people.
Yes. So that makes it a little bit challenging when we have to travel further, just for that simple reason that not as many people will get to go watch.
So when you look at your campus compared to others, and like you said, you guys are fine being the school enrollment you are, and that fits you. Have you guys had any plans or talks about anything? Because it's kind of landlocked over there as far as where you're at. St. Charles talk is so weird. You hear people say, well, if they just moved Duchenne somewhere else 10, 15 miles away and had more land, you know, and I'm sure you've heard every single thing possible. I might have even made that up. I don't know. All right. Maybe Renee Moore told me. I'm totally joking, Renee, if you're listening. But it's one of those things where facility-wise and just the route, the area you have there, are there any plans or any discussions at this time?
Not really. We're more focusing on kind of just making what we have as best as it can be.
And it sounds like some of the things you've said is you're kind of getting into your athletic fields and things are fine. I think, but what you're saying is maybe incorporating some more things into the classroom, you know, with STEM type stuff and things like that.
Absolutely.
Because let's face it, you know, we can talk about, this field is this or whatever. The schools, when they get, even the public school system, when they get grant money, it's going into the STEM and
Absolutely.
All the things that the kids need.
Absolutely.
So realistically, many of the schools now are really focused on that STEM part, that opportunity to learn outside the textbook type stuff.
Yes.
And I'm sure Duchenne's continuing to do on the
we
technology
are.
Side of it.
And then, you know, we just redid our science labs. Mm-hmm. We just redid our art room. So there's a lot that's going into the building and really kind of updating it from the inside out.
Absolutely.
So you may not see it if you're, you know, driving by, but, you know, our grass field was beautiful this last fall.
I drove by it this fall.
It actually really, really was the best that I've seen it. So it's, you know, one of those things where, if we're going to have a grass field, we want it to be a good grass field and one of the best ones in the area. So that's kind of what we're
Does Pat take the scissors to it out there? Gets down.
You know, I had to help paint the field one time and it looked like an EKG. It was bad. It was terrible. The referees commented on it. It was not.
Imagine a husband and wife trying to line the field.
Oh,
He's the coach before the game.
Yeah,
oh, my
gosh. It wasn't a good it wasn't a good experience for anybody, honestly.
I think that, you know, the question and answer of our show with Debbie has kind of come to an end here, and we're going to kind of continue, and Deb's going to stay with us.
Yeah, but I'd love to.
I think it was just interesting because I think there's a lot of people this will touch, you know, sure. as far as just wanting to know, and some people are going to be educated on things that they had no idea about. And I think it's something that I think it'll hit, you know, whether you're someone who went to Duchenne or just a person who lives in St. Charles, someone who doesn't know much about, you know, right. St. Charles in general. Yeah. So thank you for doing that. Let's go ahead, Lou. Why don't you go ahead and talk a little bit about just the better teams in basketball around town, and maybe we'll kind of both talk about the GAC and where everybody has it in the Central and the South and in the
All
North.
Right. In the GAC, we got in the North. It's surprising to say it's Winfield that's in the control of their destiny
in
right
the
now.
GAC North, it is Winfield, who's undefeated with two victories over St. Charles West Warriors and one victory over St. Charles High, and they'll play them again. So they're kudos to them, man. They are really good, and they're really well coached.
Yes, and then in the GAC Central, it's how do we say this? Zumwalt South, I believe.
Oh, shocker! Yeah, Zumwalt South again. You know, Coach Ferdell over there looks good, man. You know, he's got that. I mean, I'm just gonna say it. He's got the best beer belly in the league.
It unanimously voted on it. Is what you told me earlier. So. Like this,
and he just kind of like waddles. I mean, and if you ever
he's got it.
If he does, tucks it in tight. I mean. If you ever get a chance to go watch a game, like here, if you don't really ever watch Zumwalt South play and you happen to see him in a tournament, I'm not going to lie, sitting two or three rows behind him and listening to him coach is very entertaining. So I
noted.
Zumwalt South is
absolutely
at
noted.
The top again. Washington is having a good year. They are 14-5, but I believe Zumwalt South is the top with a 6-0 record.
Yeah, 6-0 record. Still got to play Zumwalt North one more time, but it's at Zumwalt South. North has two losses with. Two to Washington, one to being in the tournament, right, but so they got revenge the yep. other night. And then in the GAC South, it's Francis Howell,
Shocker.
Of course, having a very surprising year to their coaches, I believe, with 20-1 record.
Right,
man,
losing some guys coming off the Final Four run, and then all of a sudden they're just right back in the saddle again. Man. You know, it's funny. There's two teams around town that I hope the kids kind of listen because, in my opinion, is it Shark
yes.
from Francis Howell, and is it who's the kid from Westminster, Orff?
Yes.
Those two kids are supposedly two of the top baseball players to ever, not ever, I shouldn't say that, to come out of this area in the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And they're studs on the basketball team. And I think they're both leading them in scoring. Like, those two teams, they're
I
both,
love that.
One's 21, one's 17, and three. And they're being led by someone who is whose sport, you know, is baseball. But they're just, I mean, if it's not for guys like that, you can't have competitive teams.
Exactly.
Look at us, Josh Newell.
Yeah,
the sport is baseball.
Right. And John Wilson is football guy, you know, mm-hmm. but if you don't have those kids that want to do it, then you're always in pretty average
oh,
athletics.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that's the way it is at your place.
Well, we have to. We have to share kids when you have, you know, you've only got so many in the building and we share a lot of kids.
And what's kind of funny about that is, you know, we really started saying that when we went from like 950 to, you know, 750. Even.
Yeah, you can
and
feel
that's still
it.
A lot of kids, you know,
yeah,
but we're
you
like, oh my
it.
God, I'm freaking out. You
yeah,
know?
You
so,
feel it right away.
Absolutely. So we kind of went down through the GAC. What about some guys out there, maybe some teams that we obviously don't see on a nightly basis?
Well, you got to look at the Metro Catholic Conference.
No
it's,
doubt.
It's,
no?
The, it's the wild, wild west out there. You got CVC with Caleb Love, of course, there. I mean, you would think they're the top dog, but you got Chaminade, the Smet, who have beaten up on each other, both taking a win and a loss against each other. The Smet winning a very good game on Friday night with Chaminade, and then the Smet still, I think, has to play CVC one more time at CVC. And then SLU is better than they were last year, still
right.
not great, and then Vianney's kind of the punching bag right now. I shouldn't say that because we play on Thursday.
Yeah,
so
we get after him this week.
I might have jinxed this.
Yeah, you might
oh,
have.
Man.
Me and Lou.
Yikes.
Man, you might end up being my
Yikes.
Punching bag.
Dang it.
Another conference that is looking strong would be in the Suburban. Of course, there's always good teams that come out of there. I think the top dog probably being Melville this year, having some has some pretty
they're
good
tough.
Players.
They're tough.
They're big. They're long.
Yes. And then I think
their housing situation is a little weird.
very rare. Go over the Metro East. Got East St. Louis and Collinsville and O'Fallon, Illinois, popping out, getting some. They've beaten Collinsville. They beat Chaminade last night.
Yeah.
They've got some big
yeah,
wins.
Well, why don't you talk to me about the Trinity versus East St. Louis cheerleading fight?
Oh boy.
Okay.
Oh boy.
So, yeah, I heard. Look that up, man. That
yeah,
is,
look that up on YouTube. It's got over 200,000 views as of yesterday.
I mean, they're just getting after him. What a shame. I mean, it's awful. But, you know, I've watched these little battles, these little cheerleader battles before. And they got close, and the announcer's like, "Are you gonna take that?" He's saying, "I'm just like, oh my gosh, this isn't gonna end well." And then no one really was stopping it. It's,
well, that's it's just I don't know who thought this was gonna be a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, how would that end any differently than it did?
I mean, even if you, Dev, started on one end of the basketball floor, and I started the other, and I started stomping, and we met at center court. By the time I got to center court stomping at each other, I'd probably be a little ticked off at you.
I wouldn't be happy. You know, I would have thought about something to be upset about. Absolutely, by the time I got
no
there.
Doubt.
Yeah.
So what a shame. What are your thoughts on that, Lou?
Well. I watched,
if you were there,
like,
what would you have done?
Just I would have been confused.
That's a good answer.
That's a very honest answer.
I was thinking about this on Friday. Imagine being a player coming out of the locker and seeing all those people on the floor trying to break up a fight. You're thinking,
oh,
what?
Gosh. What? You think you'd run back in?
Yeah, probably. I would. I'd be like,
and I'm sure
fight
it was
outside.
Traumatic. I mean, that.
Yeah.
It's those poor kids.
Yeah, and East St. Louis, I think they announced they had to end up canceling their cheer season, which is probably a better decision. I mean, it hurts for the girls, but it's probably, I guess, just you reap what you sow,
basically.
Yeah,
absolutely. So let's move on to some college hoops. Why don't you talk to me a little bit about our local team this weekend, Lindenwood?
Yeah, Lindenwood went up to Quincy, a school we know pretty well here
in
St. Charles.
Got one of our own playing there. Played some. Did a three in the game, I heard.
Yeah, well, somebody
two
else.
Two of mine on there,
yeah,
too.
That's right. It's like old subdivision. They all live in the subdivision, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, Lindenwood goes up there, and Quincy did not shoot the ball great in the first half. Hit some shots in the second half, but Lindenwood held them off. But Quincy beforehand beat, a couple days before, beat the number 13 team in the country, UMSL. At home. That was big, big win for Quincy.
That's a big win.
That's basketball there, I tell you what. So we talk about, you know, SLU's probably not going to make the tournament, I don't think, unless they win the tournament at the end of the year. That's my thing.
It's not out of the equation.
They got to win every game?
Probably.
If they don't beat Dayton the other night, I think they would have had an opportunity to maybe still
they were
do it.
They were close, but they never hit the one shot that would have changed it.
You know, they're still good. I mean, if they go to the NIT this year and then come back with these guys again next year and make a run, and you can say you've been to the tournament two out of the last 3 years being a St. Louis University, that's awesome. We saw the UNC Duke thing. I don't know how UNC lost that game.
No. They totally choked it away.
Just heartbreak.
I'm sick about it.
Oh, are you a Duke fan?
No. Not even a little bit.
Really?
No.
Oh, man. I don't know. I don't really have. I like the games, but I just don't have any interest there. I have so many friends that do, but it's just kind of
since
like,
it's been all of it, what was your initial reaction to Kobe Bryant and everything that happened?
You know, it's a shame. You know, I think it was one of those situations where it was a guy that was making an impact in the women's game hugely. I don't think there's people, I even, obviously, a lot of us have, you know, Alex Bazell, who's been really close with him. I had a chance to talk to Alex and Alex's dad, actually. And Kobe was going to be a monster for the women's game.
Absolutely.
And I think there's no coming back. You know, if you want to look up the Mamba Academy and everything that they've done in the facilities. I mean, he was going to be the guy to carry women's basketball the next 20 to 30 years. So that's a shame when it comes to the basketball side of things. Obviously, it's a shame for all the families that were involved. But a lot of people grew up watching Kobe and respected him as a father. You know, he took the helicopters so he could get home, so he could get home faster to be with his kids. And I told the story about the fact that there was the lady picking up his kids from school would always beat him and was always first in line to pick the kids up for school. And he literally stalked the parking lot for a while because he wanted to be first. And Alex told me that story, and you know, Alex did say, "Well, you could put some cones up, you know." And he's like, "No, Kobe Bryant can't put cones up in the school parking lot." So he was a competitor, and he'll be missed in the game because obviously every kid who shoots something in the trash can, they yelled Kobe.
Absolutely, yeah, that's so. Yep,
yeah, it was sad.
It was sad.
Very, very sad.
Yeah.
Little golf today. What'd Phil do today? Is he hitting some bombs today?
No, he was not. That was painful to watch, but
it was
tough.
It was windy.
It was very windy. It was tough, and Phil did not hit bombs, shooting 74 in the final group and lost to a guy I've never heard of before.
Debbie, if you play St. Peter's tomorrow, what do you shoot?
I'm going to say 90 to 100.
Oh, my gosh. That's exactly right. That'd be a good score.
I mean,
you must play a lot.
I like
it. You play some? You like it?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
I'd probably shoot.
I never played growing up because I was left-handed. And
oh, just awkward.
I never had those clubs.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then all of a sudden.
Lou, you're a lefty. What would you shoot if you shot tomorrow? Golf season right around the corner.
Yeah.
St.
Peter's from the tip's probably about an 87.
I think that's okay this time of year.
I'll take that, yeah. Okay.
Well, as we wrap up the show tonight, Debbie, thank you. You know, this was something we've actually been talking about for many weeks, trying to, you know, line up our guest, and this one kind of fell in our lap, and it was fantastic to have you and learned a lot about yourself and Duchenne and many other topics. So
really happy to be here.
Thanks again. Thanks, Iggy, for all you've done tonight back there.
You betcha.
Lou. Until another time, this is
appreciate
Chuck
it.
And Lou.